Welcome to A Voice of a People with Linda Sims here on WWGH 107.1 FM Radio. We stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. You can download free app called TuneIn on any electronic device and search WWGH. If you have any questions or would like to make any comments with myself or my guest today, please call 740-383-9944. Again, that telephone number is 740-383-9944. You have to call while we are live on the air from 4:18 until 5 p.m. Let me share with you those who faithfully support A Voice of a People, starting with Chappie's Hydraulic, LLC, 1325 North Main Street, Marion, Ohio. Telephone number 740-382-8552. Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson, 582 Lee Street. Telephone number there is 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. That is also in Marion, Ohio. Inspect Ohio, LLC, your one-call home inspection company with 25 years of experience working for you. And they are out of LaRue, Ohio. And that number is 740-262-0939. And I have a thought for you today. And the title is Forget. Forget all the reasons it won't work and believe the one reason that it will work. Put that in your pocket and keep it till, at least keep it for 24 hours and share that with many people, especially those with the negative attitudes who always say, well, that won't work. I can't do that. You can't do that. That's not true. Now I'm going to turn my attention to my guest today, Brad D. Camp, who is the director of the Adam H. Board here in Marion and Crawford County. We're in Marion. That's what I was going to say, in Marion. Hi, Brad.
Hi, Linda. How are you?
I'm good.
Good to see you again.
Same here.
Yep.
Same here. And I know you've been a busy man. I'd be seeing different things on Facebook.
Yep. Yeah. Have a lot of stuff going on, and we can kind of jump into that whenever you're ready, so okay. we can talk about that.
Okay. I know we talked a little bit about the holiday, and mm-hmm. Mother's Day is coming up, too.
It is, yeah.
Soon, huh?
Got to show love to the mothers.
Yes.
Wouldn't have life without them, so got to honor.
True.
Got to honor.
True.
Yep.
Easter's behind us.
Yeah. My own mother had a health scare recently, so we're very thankful that she's doing better. So it's hard raising parents, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I tell you. They don't tell you that when you're growing up, you know.
No,
you have to find that out as you go into adulthood, I think. So
I know. And it seemed like the older we get, the younger they get.
Yeah. Something's in reverse there, isn't
yes.
it?
Yeah.
Yes. But maybe they felt the same way too. I don't know.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure from generation to generation, you know. I remember we had to take care of our mother and our father when they got sick,
mm-hmm.
you know. And my mother died in 96 and my dad died in 97 right after that. So they've been gone for a while.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It's a blessing to be able to be there for them.
Yeah, and I think that it's in today's day and age, you know, you get a lot of virtual reality, you know, there's video games and things like that, and we've got a generation that's kind of been brought up on that, and, you know, I think there's a lot of kids who, you know, aren't sure how to deal with that loss, and certainly you have to be mindful of how that's handled, but yeah, it's something that I think in the end you need to think of, instead of what I try to tell myself is be thankful for what you had, for the time you had it, instead of not having it, and kind of looking at it that way.
That's
negatively.
True. That's true. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
A lot of sense.
Yeah.
To be thankful.
Absolutely.
One,
absolutely.
No matter what it looks like, that has to be grateful for all things. So how are things at the Adam H. Board?
Well, as you said, we're very busy. We have a lot of different things, a lot of different activities that have been going on. We do have some events that I wanted to highlight for you and the listeners. We have the National Drug Take Back Day is coming up on Saturday. And that's going to be from 10 to 2. And here in Marion County, we've historically had a centralized take-back event. It used to be over at the county building, and then we had it out at the fairgrounds. And now we're going to have it again out at the Ohio Health Marion Medical Campus, which is the old Smith Clinic side of the hospital. And the way that that works is folks can drive up their car around the little circle there at the near the entrance and drop off their unused medications or expired medications, and we have law enforcement officials who can take them. And then what we do is we collect those and have those disposed of after the event. And so this is something that goes on annually, actually semi-annually. It happens at the end of April and the end of October every year. And we work together with several of our partners, the Marmet Drug Task Force, the Delaware Knox Marion Morrow Solid Waste District, also Ohio Health, Aqua, and also the Marion County Litter Prevention Program. So those are our primary partners. And we also typically have some pharmacy students who are there from Ohio Health that kind of help us identify medications, because what will happen from time, it's not uncommon for someone to just bring a big plastic bag of pills and not have them in their bottle, and they're not labeled, of course. And so the pharmacy students are really helpful to kind of do the research and identify if it's a controlled substance or things like that. But, it can be a prescription medication. It can be over-the-counter medication. They also take liquids as well. So it's a really good opportunity, and one of the things that we've learned over the last several years is that it's not uncommon for individuals who end up developing addiction to, you know, be first introduced by taking a pill from their loved one's medicine cabinet. And so we want to try to eliminate that as much as possible. So this is a really good opportunity. Like you and I were talking, it's gradually warming up into spring. So we need to, as far as spring cleaning goes, the medicine cabinet's part of that. And so certainly come out, take advantage of that. Again, it's Saturday from 10 to 2 over at Ohio Health. It's at the blue entrance over by Smith Clinic, and we'll be over there and helping out. And there's also a permanent disposal box at the sheriff's office, and the police department, Marion Police. So if folks have medications, if they're not able to get out this weekend, they can certainly take it to one of those two places. And there's also a Walgreens over on Barks that has a permanent box that you can return medications to as well. So we just want to get the word out and make folks aware that that's a good thing to do.
Right. It used to be okay to throw that in the trash, and you wouldn't even think about it. The things that we have to consider now, we didn't used to have to think about that when I was growing up. I didn't even like aspirins because they were so bitter,
Yeah, I remember them being bitter. Yeah, right. I remember that.
Who wanted to take medicine, but...
Yeah.
It's a different time.
It is. And you don't want to, throw them in the toilet or anything like that, or get them into the water table either. So, this is... when the law enforcement is finished with the collection, what they will do is they will take it and have it incinerated so that it's burned up.
Right. So how, where does the status of overdoses? Are we doing any better where that's concerned? Or
we did. 2018 was better than 2017, but I will tell you that what we're seeing, and not just in Marion, but really across the state, and I would imagine in other areas of the country, is that 2019, the first quarter, has not been good.
Right.
We're seeing a lot of, what's happened is that we're not seeing as much heroin. Okay. We are still seeing fentanyl, which is very powerful, and also crystal meth is back in play, and also cocaine to an extent as well. So, the law enforcement on the seizure side is seeing much less heroin, more along the lines of meth and cocaine. But I think part of what's going on too is that those medications are still being laced or somehow contaminated with fentanyl, and that's causing some lethal problems.
So what is fentanyl used for? Where are they getting it from?
Well, that's a good question. So fentanyl is a synthetic painkiller, And in the medical field, it's predominantly found in patches, and you know, that's one of the ways that the medication's administered. But a lot of what's been happening, and you see some articles in the newspaper with both Senator Portman and Senator Brown, they've been trying to take a more aggressive approach of how to deal with the fentanyl that's being shipped in from overseas, because there are some of the precursor and actually the chemicals that can be used to manufacture that are purchased overseas, and then either straight fentanyl or they can assemble it here. But China has been a particular problem, and
well,
so that's one of the ones, that they've been looking at in terms of trying to figure out a good strategy for that. But it's a very potent painkiller. And certainly, it's something that if you're thinking that you're taking a substance and you've been someone who has taken that particular illicit substance for a long time, if it's got fentanyl in it, then you're not going to be suspecting what's going to hit you, and in many cases, that can prove fatal.
Yeah, because the doctor at Mount Carmel, he was administering this fentanyl to the patient there, and I have all those lawsuits against him.
That's a mess, isn't it?
Oh, my. What was he thinking?
Yeah, that's exposed a lot of different issues there. But, yeah, that's the substance, and it's not to be played with, that's for sure.
Wow. And the thing that really bothers me is how some people, they want to try anything. I want to try it. I'll try it. You know, why would you try something you really don't know anything about, but you think you can handle it, you know, but they can't really handle that stuff.
No, and I think that's a lot of what's been fueling the overdose deaths, is you've got people who, you know, think they're taking, maybe they think that they've scored a Percocet or something like that, and actually what they will do with the fentanyl is they actually will put it into the pill press and form it into the shape of a pill. And so if you're not watching or not being careful or just, you know, really don't care to look closely, then, you know, they're actually taking a pill of fentanyl instead of a Percocet or something else like that.
Wow. So how is that as far as people getting seized with this fentanyl, and what kind of time do they be looking at?
In terms of
incarceration or going to
jail? There's certainly they've strengthened the penalties for possession and certainly manufacturing, and I don't know what they are off the top of my head,
but
there's been an effort to crack down, and similar to what we saw with methamphetamine back several years ago when they produced the bill about the precursor and the analog chemicals that can be used and transformed as well. So yeah, they're definitely looking at the penalties and making sure that if people have, you know, been found to, you know, sell that and manufacture that, that they are definitely penalized.
Well, I guess they have to be.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess it's kind of a good news that the heroin addict or addiction is getting lesser. I don't like the idea of fentanyl jumping up there, you know.
We have an addiction problem. I think that it's fair to say, and you know, that's one of the things that, you know, we have a new governor, new administration, and new leadership at the state, and so one of the things that Adam H. Boards have been trying to do is certainly provide a message to, you know, our elected officials that, you know, opiates got so much attention in a very short period of time, and so the funding is predominantly tied to opiates. So if the way that they crafted that funding doesn't allow for other addiction categories to be included in that, then you're really kind of hamstrung. And so now we've seen the trend shift where it is going to more of an amphetamine-based type of addiction and use. And so that's what we've been trying to convey, is that, look, it's an addiction issue, not an opiate specific issue.
Okay.
It's shifting. So, and I think they're fairly receptive to that. And I think that people, including law enforcement and other partner agencies, have been saying the same thing as well.
Right. Because some doctors, they don't. Now they're saying, well, just go over the counter and get such and such and such and such. You know what I'm thinking? I'm about to die. Are you serious?
Well, yeah, and that's a really good point, because we've really kind of created a situation where the healthcare system is in a tough place. You mentioned the Mount Carmel, and so, you know, we raise, rightfully so, a lot of concerns about that. But then you do have people who have, you know, legitimate injuries and other conditions that require pain.
Yeah.
And it makes it really hard for those individuals to get pain medication. And it also puts a lot of scrutiny on the docs and other prescribers who right. are putting it out there, too.
Right, because they don't want the reputation that I
right.
prescribed you opiates.
Yeah.
You know? So I'm glad it's kind of shifting from opiates to, you said, the methadone?
Methamphetamine, yeah. Methamphetamine. Yeah, it's a different animal with how that plays out. With methamphetamine, if you've got someone that's coming off a meth high, their symptoms are not going to be the same as someone who is who's maybe OD'd from opiates. They're more likely to be more aggressive.
Oh, really?
They're more likely to have hallucinations, and so for even an experienced law enforcement officer or a healthcare provider at the emergency department, mm-hmm. It's really hard to distinguish between someone who is coming off a crystal meth high or someone who's truly psychotic. And mm-hmm. so they kind of have to really observe them closely for a day or so before they start to come down off the crystal meth. And, you know, if they're starting to act more normal, less aggressive, less combative, and not seeing the hallucinations, then you know it was crystal meth. But
right.
if not, then you have a separate issue.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
It's almost like an alcohol-based thing, because alcohol makes people aggressive.
Yeah.
They have too much to drink.
Yeah. And you have people who respond differently to different substances. And you know, that's, you mentioned alcohol. And you know, April is Alcohol Awareness Month. And that's one of the things that I think people, with all the pieces around opiates, with mm-hmm. all the talk about now crystal meth and some of the other substances that kind of get the attention, one of the things that we don't realize is that we still have a significant issue with alcohol. And, you know, it's a legal substance, so, you know, it doesn't get the same scrutiny as you know, some of the other things do, but it certainly
don't dare take that off the
that's
shelf.
Right yeah so that's a different ball of wax.
It definitely
creates a different dynamic with the conversation, but you know, I think just statistically it definitely impacts much more lives, as you know, detox from alcohol can be lethal.
Really?
Yeah, and so normally with opiates, I don't know that we can. I kind of cut my teeth in the field about 20 some years ago, and one of the things we always used to say was that, you know, withdrawal from opiates was painful, but it wasn't mm-hmm. likely to kill you. And I think by and large that's still true, but I think now that you've got fentanyl and other things, I don't know that we can say that maybe as strongly as we once did. But certainly withdrawing from alcohol and also benzos can also be very painful and more life-threatening, but definitely alcohol for sure.
I've noticed that people drink more alcohol. I mean, it's like water, and I guess that could be very dangerous to your system.
Yeah.
You know, because yeah. like the college kids, what do they call that when they come in and get that initiation when they go
oh,
to college?
Oh, yeah, with like the fraternities and things. Yeah,
yeah. They call that
the hazing or something like
gazing,
that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's binge drinking that goes on, and certainly the college kids are definitely at risk of that with the parties and things like that, but that doesn't mean that it doesn't exist with the
right.
adult population either.
That's true. That's so true. Wow.
So, yeah.
Yeah, and it's dangerous because they drive and, you know.
Yeah, it's, that they definitely can, it definitely can make someone not make the best decisions for themselves or other people.
And I have a question about
yep.
opioids.
Mm-hmm.
When you abuse them,
mm-hmm.
say, and take too much, does that alter your driving abilities?
Oh, certainly. Yeah. Yeah. Both alcohol and opiates are central nervous system depressants. So what they're going to do is they're going to kind of slow your ability to process, and your motor skills will be definitely part of that as well. So, yeah.
Okay. So that's something that parents can look out for also.
Definitely. Yeah, definitely. And it's, you know, something that I think we kind of fight a little bit, and just to go a little bit further with your comments about alcohol and what we've talked about, I mean, mm-hmm. again, we kind of see that as kind of a rite of passage, you know, that, well, you know, I experimented and I did this and that. And that may be true, but, you know, I think that it's okay to, you know, certainly have a reasonable expectation and conversations about right. the outcomes of the behavior and what can happen as consequences.
Yeah. Yeah, you can kill yourself or someone else.
Yeah, you know? Become in you know, if you are fortunate enough to live, a lot of times people have very serious disabilities that go on for their rest of their lifetime.
Coming from
alcoholism. Absolutely, yeah.
Wow. It makes you wonder, what do we be thinking about as far as living our lives and doing the right thing and, you know, having the right thinking. And I know a lot of it comes from wrong thinking and wrong information, because I remember growing up, you know, a beer wasn't anything. At least they would tell you that, right? Mm-hmm. So I'll have a beer, and then I have another beer, right. Another beer. And before you know it, it's like, wow, I'm staggering and, you know.
And you know, with TV and the internet and social media and everything, I think there's a lot of things that go on around, you know, making it look enticing and, you know, that you're going to be accepted if you do this, or, you know, these people are successful and, you know, they go for, you know, drinks after work. And certainly that's, you know, as adults, there's nothing wrong with that. But I think so long as there's, you know, responsibility and understanding of that goes along with that.
True. Because it's aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you may start out with a beer,
mm-hmm.
but before you know it, you might probably be putting down a 12-pack.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, and so it's just something that I think that, again, it's not to say that adults aren't able to do that, and I think most adults are able to manage and be able to manage their intake, but then you have situations where, you know, you might have somebody who might have maybe some anxiety or depression, and maybe they start to use that more to deal with that, then that becomes a little bit more problematic.
That does, because we do have our social drinkers,
mm-hmm.
and they are the ones who basically can handle it.
Mm-hmm.
They know, they're disciplined, very disciplined.
Yeah.
And I had a thought on my mind. I knew I should have wrote it down. The gaping. I think, not gaping, is it gaping?
Vaping?
Vaping.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Now, someone was telling me that they've been telling the young people that it's okay to vape instead of smoke cigarettes. Now, what's the difference between the two?
Well, so this is a good conversation to have. You know, I think the concern that I have is, you know, by and large, we've been very successful in teaching kids that tobacco is harmful, that nicotine is harmful, that mm-hmm. nicotine is addictive. And, you know, I think people are pretty widely accepting of the fact that, you know, this is something that, for the tobacco side, that's very, very harmful. With the vapor, what you will see is that, well, it's just the vapor. It's not really all of the harmful contaminants that are put off by the cigarette as it's burning and consumed and things like that. But I think one of the concerns is that we do now see on TV when they run these ads that, you know, you can't say that they're nicotine free. And they do put that out there on the ads. But at the same time, and this is where my issue comes up, you've got adults who are saying, you know, I used to smoke cigarettes. I realized they were bad for me. Then I moved over to the Juul or whatever the brand is that they're dealing with. And so the message is that, yes, we're checking the box to say that we're not providing a message that says that it's not harmful or that it doesn't contain any harmful substances, but we're also couching that in a message that says that it's okay to step down from cigarettes to that. And so I think that, you know, it's all, you know, it really all goes with age appropriateness and other healthy behaviors. And so just thinking about how we're packaging that and presenting that. And again, I think it's similar to the discussion we have with alcohol. I think with most people, you know, there'll be limits and people will know when to say when, so to speak. But I think the other concern with the vaping is, you know, just again, the presentation, the messaging that, you know, it's almost okay to step down. So then that creates this kind of false sense of security with people.
Yes, it does, because they drink, I mean, not drink, but they smoke more.
Right.
You know, it's like nonstop.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was in Akron, I think it was the 1st of March. My daughter vapes.
Okay.
And they know I have a sensitivity to smoking because I had lung cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been healed of that since 2001.
That's, you know, I hate to interrupt you, but my dad was diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer in 2001 as well.
Really?
Yeah, and he's still with us. So thank God for that.
Amen.
Yeah, there you go.
Here too.
All right. There we go. I knew there was a reason I liked you.
Well, thank you.
Yes.
It's good to be in the land of the living.
I'm so glad you're here. But yes. Yeah, that's remarkable, the recovery.
Yes. But I have a sensitivity.
Yes, yes.
To different perfumes or odors, mm-hmm. You know, smoke. So she says, well, Mom, you know, there's no nicotine in this vaping. I spent a weekend with her. She had got this big promotion. Mm-hmm. Got her this high-tech flat and all that. And right. I just wanted to share it with her. So she's smoking it like nonstop, mm-hmm. You know, putting little drops in the liquids right, and right. just vaping, you know. And I'm like, well, that shouldn't bother me if it doesn't. Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. I stayed overnight.
Yeah.
Came home. I was sick. I had this terrific headache yeah. all the way home. I'm thinking, why do I have this headache?
Yeah. And so on the commercials, they do have to say that they have that warning that they play before they play the commercial about nicotine. But yeah, and that's the other thing that they do is they've got the different flavors or scents yeah, or whatever you yeah. want to call them. And so they're not, clearly they're not as off-putting as what regular tobacco smoke is.
Right.
So yeah, I'm a bit sensitive to that as well. But yeah, it's just, you know, for me, it's along the lines of, you know, let's just be real. And, you know, like that's a lot to expect of people anymore. But, you know, let's not mix messages and make sure that we're promoting, you know, things that are accurate for our younger people.
That's dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
It's dangerous.
I agree.
If they don't know the truth about it, it's even more dangerous because they think, well, now we got something. We can put our flavors in there. Mm-hmm. You know, it tastes different. It smells different, you know, and it's not harmful.
Right. Right. Yeah. Well, everyone wants to, like you said earlier, it's almost a variation of, you know, why would people try fentanyl? Well, you know, why would you, you know, want to try to, you know, push the, and I think that's maybe just our nature to an extent. And you've got people who, you know, when they are in active addiction, they just continue to want to push that and take the chance. And, you know, that feeling of invincibility certainly is part of that as well.
You're right. We like to try new things all the time.
Yeah.
whether it's
sometimes even if it's not good for us, right?
Right. Well, yeah. And I think that's the biggest turn on sometimes, mm-hmm. right?
It can be. It definitely can be.
Like the tree in the Garden of Eden, right?
Yeah, there was that. So
don't dare.
It was a simple order, right?
Right. Don't do that. Mm-hmm. Don't touch it. Don't eat it.
Easy enough.
We're still suffering from that, right?
Yep, exactly.
Humanity as a whole.
Yes.
Wow. Well, God knew.
He did.
He knew. He wasn't surprised. He's not surprised now either.
No.
You know. But yeah. Like you said, and I say, well, people say, well, how is the war on drugs going on? Mm-hmm. And I know I asked you that when you were here last time.
Yeah, it still has its challenges. I think that, you know, the whole piece with the fentanyl from out of country, you know, we talked about that a little bit. And, you know, we still have other, you know, I guess it's what I would say is a foreign policy issue in terms of some of the other things with Mexico and the cartels and other things like that. And so
you said China. I'm like, wow.
Yeah, China. And then there's some stuff that comes through. I don't know if this pipeline is still open, but there was another synthetic opiate. I can't remember what it was called exactly, but it was coming through Canada as well. So yeah, trying to close off those pipelines. And, you know, I think that, you know, for so long we've focused on, you know, the supply. But mm-hmm. my thought too is, you know, what are we doing to decrease the demand? You know, how are we trying to help people with different treatments and different options to help them? And, you know, we do a lot. There's certainly more in areas that we can improve on, but I think that's something collectively as a country we do need to look at from a policy area is what are the things that we're doing or not doing or things we could do differently to make it easier for people to get help.
True. Whether they taking it or selling it. And that's even another part of the drug abuse is people selling drugs.
Right.
You know, and it's as if they can't find another career mm-hmm. in life, you know. And then they say our jails are being overpopulated and mm-hmm. running over. And I think I saw a clip about our jails here in Marion. The new one being expanded or mm-hmm. trying to make more room. How is that going to work?
Yeah, it's gonna be challenging. And one of the things that before I came to this job, when I did work at the state, and one of the directors of the old Department of Rehab and Rehabilitation and Correction was talking about not building new state prisons. And, you know, the state prisons have been, you know, very full too. And so, you know, you do have, I think that certainly our law enforcement and our justice officials have very challenging jobs, mm-hmm. Because, you know, it's the way that the laws are written in some ways, it's they don't have a lot of choices in terms right. of what they can charge people with and sentence them to. And so I think it becomes a question of, do we need to look at that as well? Is the legal part of that, looking at the laws and how they're structured for penalties? I think we do need to look at that. Because you could have individuals who are being sanctioned who really aren't traffickers, so to speak, but right. they're really trying to feed their addiction. And I know there's a fine line there, and I'm all for accountability. I think if people, you know, need to be sanctioned, I think they need to be sanctioned. And, you know, there are certainly some bad actors in our community right. that need that consequence. But I also know that there are people who are hurting, who, you know, have had, you know, trauma or something else in their earlier in their life that they're trying to, that they've not been able to work through, that they've not gotten the right help for just yet. And that's why they are the way they are.
Right, right. You're right. You're right. Because you can't just blame everybody for being a user
right.
of drugs, because we don't know everyone's specific circumstances. And I'm sure there are many, mm-hmm. you know, like you said, your dad was diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer, and you know, we had to have our meds at that time.
That's right.
Know?
Yeah.
I had surgery and I'm in the hospital, and yeah, I got the IV, you yep. know, and the drop thing coming down, but you know what? I had tubes in my side, and yes. Please hurry up and bring it, you know.
Yeah, yeah, he had something very similar to what you're describing yeah. as well. So yes, yeah. I can relate to that.
That hurts.
Yeah, it does.
And it doesn't really take the pain away, but it kind of puts you to sleep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You don't worry. You don't think about it as much. But, yes, there are circumstances where we need our medication. And when I'm sick, I want to feel better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what we want to do. Now, Crawford County.
Yes, ma'am.
How are their statistics?
So I'll talk a little bit about what we see from so the state has a prescription drug monitoring database, and one of the things that we've been looking at here in both Marion and Crawford counties is how are we stacking up to the rest of the state. And one of the things that I'll speak to Marion first and then move over to Crawford, Marion has actually we've struggled to see that number go down as much as some of the other counties have. Mm-hmm. I want to say that our rate of change from 2012 to 2018 was one of the lowest, if not the lowest, in the state. So we did go down, but not as much as everybody else did.
Okay.
So with Crawford County, they're still a little above the state average as well, but they're a lot closer. So okay. some of that's population-based. You know, obviously Marion's a slightly bigger county than Crawford, and you know, I think the healthcare system's a little bit different between the two counties. So, but yeah, it's certainly something that we need to look at. How can we improve? How can we work with our healthcare partners? And here it's Ohio Health. Over in Crawford County, it's AVITA.
Right.
And Ohio Health's over in that direction too. But, you know, how do we begin to engage those prescribers and talk about, like you said earlier, I mean, we have situations where there is legitimate need for pain mm-hmm. relief mm-hmm. and not trying to get those people, I mean, or treating their pain adequately, but then, you know, making sure that they're doing a good faith effort to not provide so much medication that they're True. Putting them or somebody else at risk.
True. That's right. And, you know, some people, they need the medication, but they need it when they hurt.
Yeah.
And that's the only time they basically will take it. Now, addict will take it just because it's there to take. You know, and then
yeah.
before you know it, they have to have it.
Yeah.
You know.
Absolutely.
So it's a different usage. Mm-hmm. Depends on the people. I've seen that from different people.
Yeah.
Can't get up and move around unless they're dropping a pill, and I'm thinking, really?
Mm-hmm.
Do you really need that to go outside?
You right.
know, can't you just go out that door?
Yeah, yeah, that's and you'll see the same thing with alcohol. There are people who want to, and cigarettes. I mean, they'll want to get up, and the first thing that they want to do is smoke a cigarette or have a drink. And, you know, unfortunately, there are people who will, you know, do that in the morning, too.
True, Wow. So it looks different in Crawford County?
A little bit. I think there's some similarities for sure. I think then just in terms of the figures, you know, it's a little bit better. Again, I would say that there's definitely room for improvement in both communities.
Now, you received an award over in Crawford County.
I did?
Yes.
Did they talk about that over here?
I saw it on Facebook.
Okay.
So you have to tell
yes.
About it.
Yeah. Well, you know, that was a huge surprise to me because, you know, I was nominated for the Community Development Award by the Crawford Partnership, and I'd signed up to go. I had no idea that I'd even been nominated, and so as Aaron Stein, who's the person who was kind of behind this over there, where that works for the Crawford Partnership, was kind of reading this off. And she said my name, and I'm like, that can't be right. I mean, there's got to be at least a couple, three dozen, maybe even more people in this room that are more qualified that you know deserve or more deserving of this than I am. And so then she said that your staff's behind you, and I'm thinking. Because I was sitting by two people who I work with very closely. I'm thinking, maybe she's thinking that they're my staff. And so then I kind of look over, and I've got like three or four of my staff who've made it over and a couple board members. So, yeah, it was just very special, and I was very humbled and, you know, to be part of that, to be recognized. And you don't do it by yourself. I mean, yes. You know, you have a good team of people who work with me at the Adam H. Board, and you know, there's been good foundations that have been laid by Jody Demo Hodgins and the work that she did in the community. So I can't, you know, point to anything that I've done in and of myself and say, yeah, that's me. It's really the work that you do because of the people who are supportive of you and you know, the people who've gone before you. So that's but yeah, I appreciate you seeing that and mentioning that.
Did.
But yeah, that was a big surprise. I was truly surprised.
I could tell by the somber look on your face.
Yeah.
I could tell.
It's like one of those things is that they're talking and saying these things, and I was like, are they talking about me or somebody else? So, but anyway, it was a very special thing, and it's something that I will, you know, certainly carry with me as a thing of pride for many years to come.
That's good because, you know, you took on the shoes of Jody Demo Hodgins, mm-hmm. who was very influential in the communities.
Yeah.
And I had her on my show many times,
yeah.
You know.
So she's great.
Twice a year at least.
Yeah.
And she could just go on and on and on about the work that's being done and was being done at that time.
Yeah.
And when you came in, you know, that was a big honor just to even step in her place.
Well, I mean, you know, I just by way of a real quick background, this is what I've wanted to do with my life for many years. I've wanted to be an Adam board director, and that's been a career goal of mine. And I've been trying to do it since the late 90s. And so, you know, if it hadn't been for Jody and for her support, I wouldn't be here today. I mean, there were a couple times I got close, but it just never got pushed over the edge. And, you know, I wasn't, you know, totally unhappy at the state. I mean, I was doing meaningful work there, but I really felt like my heart was telling me and I was being drawn to be back in the community, which is where I started my career back in the mid to late 90s.
Great. Your dream came true.
Yeah. So...
Well, you ought to be great at that.
Well, yeah, I don't know. Well,
it's a passion.
And you know, I think that you have to look for the opportunities for growth and where you can improve, and so that's, you know, where I'm finally getting to the point where I feel like everything's not as overwhelming as it was when I first started. Mm-hmm. And because two counties doesn't sound like a lot, but until you live the two counties, then you know you see and you want to be sensitive to the differences,
right?
Because they are different, and be responsive to the needs. And so there's a lot of similarities, but there are some nuances that you have to be mindful of.
Well, you also came in at the height of that heroin addiction, overdoses. So
yeah,
you stepped into something that was going on, and it could have been overwhelming.
It certainly was. And you know, I if not for my staff and other partners in the communities in both counties, then yeah, it certainly would have been a lot more challenging.
I think we all were frantic about that.
Yeah, and it was just so much. And you know, I think that, you know, Marion and just with this area and what it's been through over the years,
yeah.
And then to have, you know, be one of the, what I would say is, you know, a lot of times Southern Ohio gets pointed out as ground zero, and I grew up in Southern Ohio, so I'm sensitive to this, but, okay. you know, I see a lot of similarities with Marion and some of the areas that I've lived in Southern Ohio, and I think
so around
that,
Cincinnati area?
Portsmouth, actually.
Portsmouth.
Yep, due
okay.
south, okay. Light out right on the river, so
been
yeah.
Been there once.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A friend of mine used to live there.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
been there once.
So that's, when I go to see my parents, that's the area that I go to.
Okay, Portsmouth. Okay, mm-hmm. Yeah. I wouldn't mind. I liked it, Portsmouth. Nice little town.
It is, and that is an area that you know, has been in the news a lot lately, again, unfortunately, because of the
drug
issue.
Okay.
And, it's definitely an area, and I think probably the parallels that I see with Marion are the issue with drugs, but also just the economy. It's just an area that's just been so hard hit, and it's been hard to get, larger businesses to really come in and anchor the economy there.
Okay. Well, hopefully we are coming out of this, I hope.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of good work that's being done, and,
yes.
and certainly we're trying to be a good partner and, you know, work hand in hand with our business partners because, you know, frankly, I think we need to, you know, rely on each other. And
we have
individuals who, you know, have drug issues and can't pass tests, but who otherwise might be qualified to find work. And, you know, we have to, I think, find a way for those individuals who have repaid their debt.
Right.
I mean, we can't.
To bring them back
you can't,
into society.
Yeah,
yes.
I mean, in my mind, you can't have it both ways. I mean,
true.
You can't say, well, they're not qualified for benefits or for this and that and the other, but then they can't go make a living because of something that happened 20 years ago.
Right, and then where does that leave them? Back
mm-hmm.
in the streets.
Yeah, yeah.
They have to have money to survive.
And it's hard to be hopeful when
yes.
you have those circumstances.
Yes, wow. Right, we don't want to be dream killers.
No, you know? No, absolutely not. Well, but I think from a policy perspective, those are things that we do need to really, really think about is, you have people who, you know, have you know, become educated and because they have done something in their past doesn't
right.
mean that, you know, they shouldn't have hope for the future.
That's true. Brad, we are out of time.
Already?
Already. I know
it goes so fast
like
when you and I talk.
I know you love me like
I
that,
do.
But we're out
I
of
do.
Time. Thank you so much for coming and sharing with us about the Adam H. Board mm-hmm. and success that's going on in our communities and Marion and Crawford County. Mm-hmm. Thank God for it because it was just so scary there for a while. And I'm so glad that things have changed, are turning. So thank you for listening to A Voice of a People and my guest, Brad DeCamp. Thank you once again. Until next time, be blessed.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP Marion, Ohio, The Talking Place. For Ohio State Senator Sherrod Brown on presidential contender and Governor John Kasich.
On the other side, just a second to talk over on the Republican side, our Governor Kasich, last time I heard, has a 70% approval rating in Ohio. He's running neck and neck with Donald Trump. Who's going to carry Ohio tonight?
Well, I don't know. I think it's close. I assume Kasich probably will win. He's the governor, but I also find it curious that John Kasich has lost, I think, all 23 primaries he's been in, or 22, or whatever it is, caucuses and primaries he's lost. He's not won any one of them. Yet if he wins today, his home state, they're considering him a major contender. And I guess I listen to these political pundits. They all have opinions. But, you know, Governor Kasich doesn't have many delegates, even if he wins Ohio, and he's far into fourth place that way. And so I don't know how he possibly gets the nomination in Cleveland coming up, but I also know, and you know, he's been, I guess I hope he comes back to the state and starts governing. I mean, he really hadn't been here much since July, and the media loves John Kasich. They always have. The people that own the newspapers usually love Republican governors, and he's gotten very little criticism for being out of the state the last 8 months. While our economy is doing worse than Michigan, our job growth is weaker than Michigan and Indiana and Kentucky, in spite of what we hear in campaign talk. But there's a lot of work to do in this state. The Sebring water, poisoning of the water there with lead, the state didn't do anything about. And, you know, the state needs to focus on the charter school scandal and all these problems that Ohio has that nobody's paying attention to because the governor's running for president. So I'm just hopeful he comes back to the state, realizes that this race is not his to win at this point when you're so far behind, even if he wins Ohio and comes back and does the work we need.
And on being Hillary Clinton's vice president.
Very interesting. Before I let you go, Senator Brown, and I thank you for your time, the Hill reported today that a possible Clinton-Brown ticket could be, and NBC's Chuck Todd has suggested this, MSNBC's Rachel Maddow has floated around the idea. So I guess, Senator Brown, if asked, will you serve?
I have no interest. I really don't. I love what I'm doing here. I'm very flattered by that. I appreciate anybody thinking that. But I really don't want to be vice president. I want to continue to fight for middle class in Marion and Mansfield and all over the state.
So no chance as you
No interest. No chance.
No chance at all. Okay. Hey, well, that's a Sherman.
WWGH Radio streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com. Programming on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM is supported by CRT Mechanicals. Address 2842 Marion Waldo Road. Telephone number 740-225-4495. Webpage crtmechanicals.com. Thomas Lawn Service for all your lawn care and landscaping needs. Telephone number 740-751.